Welcome back to another Glass of Charlie Faye. Thank you so much. I feel like I need to have some kind of like musical intro to my podcast episodes. That was definitely not it. You probably won't hear that one again. I would give it a hard 3 out of 10. But I'll keep working on it, I promise. I'm very excited for today's episode because I know our special guest pretty well, and we've worked together before. Her name is Chanel Beliveau, and we are going to be discussing intuitive eating, body image, and diet culture, and everything that kind of surrounds that. So let's jump right into the episode. All right, so I am here today with Chanel Beliveau, who is a intuitive eating coach and body image coach as well. And Chanel actually reached out to me about a couple of weeks ago and was like, I think this would be a really awesome episode for you to have on your podcast. It really fits within your brand. And I completely agree because I've struggled with eating my whole life, with disordered eating my whole life. And I never realized that it was disordered eating until someone told me that it was. And I think that there's a lot of women or just a lot of people in general of all genders that struggle with it as well. And I don't feel like it's talked about enough. So I'm going to let you take the mic a little bit. And I want you to explain to me who you are, what you do, and what intuitive eating is for the people that don't know.
Sounds good. Well, hello, gang. And like Charlie said, my name is Chanel, and I'm an intuitive eating and body image coach. I guess my journey to intuitive eating was quite interesting, to say the least, because I started out with, going through several eating disorders in high school. And recovering from those eating disorders, anorexia, and then I went through like binge eating disorder and orthorexia after high school.
What is orthorexia? And
what's that?
What is the last one that you said? Orthorexia?
Orthorexia can oftentimes be associated with like an obsession with health. So like it's kind of, yeah.
Interesting. I've never even heard of that one. So that's a new one that I'll add to the list.
Yeah. So there's like, obviously like the most common one that people know of, like there's anorexia, bulimia, and then you have like binge eating disorder that a lot of people go through as well. But orthorexia, it's not that it's new, but it's been more observed throughout the year obviously there was part of me that where I was, not eating enough, counting calories in high school. But after that, once I started recovering from anorexia and binge eating disorder, I thought that I was doing the healthier choices, but I was like exercising, like focusing like my whole day around exercise. I was still like being like super like meticulous about the food that I was eating. I was making sure that I was again like within a certain like calorie range, and just like super obsessed about making sure that everything that I was eating was like in the cleanest form, always organic, which I mean, there's nothing wrong with those things and like wanting to like, you know, have good ingredients, but it's when you focus your whole life around food and health and it really becomes an obsession, that usually falls within the realm of orthorexia, which is now like clinically recognized. So I went through that, and when I was recovering from those eating disorders, I went vegan for 4 years, which, you know, at that time I was like, this is like the healthier option for me. You know, I'm like trying to like live my life intuitively. Like I'm no longer restricting like as bad as I was, but for me to jump from eating disorders to still a really highly restrictive diet for most, was still me trying to control my eating habits but in a way that was more socially acceptable than trying to, you know, treat eating disorders. So I went vegan. I started my started studying in holistic nutrition and realized that I wanted, and I guess at that time I started learning more about intuitive eating as well, and like listening to your own body. So I started incorporating like meat again. I was no longer vegan, but then making the jump from veganism, I went and I was like dairy free, gluten free, soy free. I wasn't having any types of refined sugar or refined or like in quote like processed foods. And I was making sure that everything was local and organic, and like my life also revolved around that. Again, not there's anything wrong with those foods, I have to make sure that I specify, but it was just like that obsession over like trying to be like my healthiest self all the time. And
I think that there's a really big difference between being mindful and being obsessive.
100%. Yeah. Because for sure, like, obviously, and that's something like one of the branches, because again, I'll explain what intuitive eating is in a second. But one of 10 principles that makes up intuitive eating, which I guess I can also touch on after, because oftentimes intuitive eating is being, there's a lot of people that think that intuitive eating is just to like, you know, it's like a hunger and fullness diet, in like quotation, that you just make sure that you eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're full, but it's much more than that. So one of the 10 principles is actually gentle nutrition. And this is where we can apply like, you know, eating food that makes us feel good, but it's like more to focus on how it feels within our body versus how, like how our body looks type thing. Okay. So that's kind of where like, you know, because nutrition and, you know, health obviously still has that part in, you know, living like life and feeling good, like within your body. But yeah, when it comes to that point where it's being like, you know, obsessive and we're missing like social events because there's no food that we can eat or that it doesn't fit within or like range of what healthy eating is and so forth, then that becomes a little bit more out of control. But so, yeah, so that was kind of like my jump. Eventually when I took the proper training last year, because for years I was thinking like, oh yeah, like I'm doing like, you know, intuitive eating right, but then I was like still restricting all those foods, like not for any like medical like purposes or because I had like food allergies. It was just because for me in my mind it was like, oh well, this is the healthier thing to do. And yeah, when I took the proper training and learned that, you know, I was still in the realm of restricting for health purposes, then I really truly started my journey with intuitive eating, and it's been both magical and overwhelming at times. Because it's a lot of unlearning with intuitive eating, because the thing is that the reason we struggle around food is like 95% of the time not about the actual food itself. It's usually what's the underlying cause that makes us feel out of control around food? Why are we using food as a way to like try to have like control over our life? Why are we trying to what are we trying to like suppress by using food? So this is where with intuitive eating, it can be like intense, like, you know, emotional work, because we're really like, you know, peeling back the layers and going down to what's the, you know, the lying cause of, or the way we interact with food. But it's so powerful, because then that stays with you for years to come. And that's also being passed down to like generations after you, right? Absolutely. When you feel that pattern. And so that's why I feel like it's such important work and why we need to be talking more about it. And yeah, so that's kind of why I'm here.
It's just like body image in the sense that it like really like focusing in on self-love and learning how to love yourself in your present form and mm-hmm. not focusing constantly and becoming obsessive with what am I going to look like in 3 months? What am I going to look like in a year? What am I going to look like in 3 years?
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with that as well, because a little bit on my journey in the sense of disordered eating, I weighed myself since I remember the first time that I weighed myself, I was in kindergarten. And I remember seeing the number on the scale was 105 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I was a pretty big kid growing up. I developed really early. I was very, very tall. I was always the tallest in my class up until I hit my last couple of years of middle school. And I had like all of my... we had filled out like a little sheet when we were in kindergarten that said like how many baby teeth you'd lost. I'd already lost 8 and everyone else in the class had only lost 1. So I developed boobs in grade 3. Like I very much developed at a very early age. Yeah. And I think that also played a huge factor in my weight and just like, I guess like just everything in itself. But I had seen my parents weigh themselves. So I was like, okay, like I'll just do it myself. And while everyone else in my class, like in gym class, you would weigh yourself too, right? They would like check and see what your BMI is. And now we know that that's all bullshit. Yeah. we there's a lot of unlearning to do with that as well. But, and just like how much of an intimate experience that is with yourself, weighing yourself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and not having to do it in front of a classroom full of children, like full of other kids that could potentially make fun of you for it. So I always ask to be weighed separately, not in the class or not in front of the class. Mm-hmm. But being there and being present when the other kids would weigh themselves, I realized that I was the heaviest in class and I was the only kid that weighed over 100 pounds. And this is one of my earliest memories of body image was when I was in kindergarten. I remember weighing myself being at 100 pounds and weighing myself the day after, and I was 106 pounds. And I remember doing like jumping jacks and trying to get that number down in kindergarten. I wasn't even old enough to understand any of this. And that's when it started for me. So from then on, I became obsessive with the number on the scale throughout all elementary school, which is so terrible. It's so horrible that when I look back on my earlier years, and this had nothing to do with how my parents raised me or who I was, who I was surrounding myself with, who my support system was. It had nothing to do with that. It was an obsession that I fueled myself that turned into disordered eating, that turned into struggling with my weight my whole life, that turned into struggling with my body image my whole life. And it's only in the last couple years, like really in the last like 2 years, I would say that I'm really trying to, you know, like really hype down on who I'm not only who I'm surrounding myself with, but like who I'm surrounding myself with on social media, what my brain is taking in throughout the day, who I'm seeing, what kind of bodies I'm seeing. And as I was telling you earlier, I've just recently started dabbling in intuitive eating because as I'm sure you've done the same, I've done every single diet in the book that you could possibly think of. And it's like we were talking about as well, like diet culture now has a really sneaky way of creeping up on you and making it seem like you're not on a diet and you're not being restrictive when really you are. And it's just so easy to get back into that mindset that, and I feel it creeping up on me every once in a while as well. Like I'm only human. I understand that this is going to happen as well. As much as I'm very confident in my body, I'm very confident in who I am and what I look like, there are still days where I'm not. Mm-hmm. And it's on those days that I feel the same thoughts that I had in elementary school and in middle school about obsessive weight, just like the number on that scale. And it makes you feel like shit. And I haven't stepped on a scale in, I would say like over a year
now. Yeah, I would say over a year. And it's been the best thing that I could have possibly done for my mental health, because I used to, if someone would invite me to go out to eat or to go out to a friend's house and I knew that there was going to be food there, I had a lot of anxiety around being around that, knowing that I had no control over what I was putting in my body. And that turned into a binge eating disorder for me, because that also, it turned into a binge eating disorder, but it also turned into inhaling my food, eating my food so quickly that I don't have time to think about or process what I'm actually putting in my body. I'm just taking it, putting it in my mouth and swallowing it, and having that, like, those couple seconds of like instant gratification that I'm eating those foods, that I'm eating those foods that are supposed to be bad for your health, that are supposed to be quote unquote bad for you. So that's a lot of like what I've struggled with my whole life. And I don't ever remember a time, I don't ever remember a day where my body was not on my mind. In some way, in some possible way, it was always on my mind. I was always thinking about it, and I'm trying not to, I'm trying to really hound down on that and really change that. And it's like you said, it comes with a lot of unlearning, you know what I mean? It comes with a lot of, therapy. It comes with a lot of, you know what I mean? There's just a lot of factors that go into changing that mindset. And it's been a really big struggle for me. And I think the one thing that has helped me has been being public about it and really talking about it in a public manner and really inviting other people into my space who have struggled with the same thing, who might want to talk about it as well, because I've always been that person that I feel better when I'm talking about things that I'm struggling with. It helps me process them myself. And when I started in the last year, when I really like changed my Instagram into what it is now, like my brand is really all about, it's all about me as a personality and also my work comes into play with that as well. But it's a lot of me now. It's a lot of like my struggles and all of that kind of stuff. And I know that a lot of people can relate to a lot of the things that I went through throughout my life. And I never, when I was growing up, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one that was going through this and that was having these really terrible thoughts about myself, because I used to see all of my friends that were, you know, like very, a lot smaller than I was, that didn't have stretch marks on their thighs, that didn't have stretch marks on their boobs, that didn't have any of those things that I developed at such an early age. And it was hard because I didn't have anybody else that I could like turn to and be like, oh, okay, it is normal. You know what I mean? Like this was back when I was like, you know, like 10, 11 years old when I was developing a lot earlier than anybody in my life. But, I think that's when it really, really started. But I think the root of it was weighing myself every single day and, weighing myself 3-4 times a day and really basing my whole life on what that number was.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, but also so sad at the same time, but kind of like how you said, like, it breaks my heart to hear that, you know, you going like in middle school, right? Like, so like, just like, we're just like small children at that time and like going through those experiences. And there's been a study that recently came out, and if I'm not mistaken, it said there was like third graders, so I mean still young, and that it was like 85% of the young girls in third grade that wanted to be thinner, that wanted to be in a small body at that age. Like, I just want to cry. Like, and it's so
I can be the person to tell you that in third grade I wanted to be smaller as well. And I wasn't even like a whole person yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was already focusing on being thinner. And I think that has a lot to do with, like we said before, with diet culture, with what we were, with the magazines. I mean, at that point in time, there's a lot of it now as well, but at that point in time, the media was very much focused on how to lose 14 pounds in 3 days, or the only fucking way that you're gonna lose 14 pounds in 3 days is if you cut off one of your legs. Like, that is the only way.
For real. No, but seriously, though, like, even the other day, I just, like, it just makes me cringe, like, every time that I see it. But I was at Sobeys, and you know how at the grocery store they have, like, magazine right at the cash?
Yeah.
And there was, I think it's, like, I don't know if it was, like, Woman's Daily or, I don't know, some kind of magazine. And it's, like, always, like, the most, like, fad diets on there. It's, like, it said something, like, oh, lose, like, 40 pounds in a week. I was, like, I just
can't do that. There is no healthy way. And I'm not even a dietitian, and I know that. You know what I mean? There's just no healthy way to be able to do that in such a small amount of time. And it's just, it's the media is just so obsessive with being thinner and, you know, all of these things. And it's just so sad, because that's, I know that we are the generation that is changing the generation for our children, which is amazing, 100%. Which is, it's absolutely amazing. I think that that's awesome. But you know, our generation struggled really, really, really badly.
And it's like, I find, and that's the thing with, you know, how we were talking about, you know, how diet culture is being more sneaky. But the thing is that when I say, like, diet culture, that's, like, you know, anything or anyone that falls within the realm of, like, you know, intentional weight loss, or that falls under, like, now there's, like, wellness dieting. So, like, you know, that's, like, the paleo, the keto, like, the vegans and all that, intermittent fasting and all that thing.
Don't get me started on keto. Keto is...
What's that?
Don't get me started on keto. I fell into TikTok, like, keto TikTok. And the amount of things that I've seen, like, I know that keto was built specifically for a... illness, it was for
It was, keto was created to help with epileptic children.
So, and I think that obviously that was, like, taken, and I'm sure that there, like, I'm gonna say this again, I'm sure that there are some people who have been on keto that it's worked for them, for sure. And you know, that I'm not saying that, like, this is intuitive eating is, like, the end all be all, you know what I mean? I'm sure that there's other things that have worked for you, and that has helped with your, with maybe an eating disorder, that has helped with disordered eating. And if that works for you, 100% keep doing that. What works for me is not going to work for everyone else. And all of these fad diets that I've ever tried has never worked for me.
Because that's one of the things, because most diets out there, and again, I have to specify that, like, because diet isn't a cool word anymore. Anything that falls under dieting is anything that puts on, like, restriction on what type of food you can eat, when you can eat, or how much food you can eat. So again, there's a lot of stuff that falls under that. But diet culture, one, profits from our insecurities, right? Because that's a $72 billion, it's just crazy to think, but $72 billion a year industry that makes money off of our own insecurities. Hence, like, you know, for example, we took, like, the magazine, like, lose 40 pounds in, like, a week, right? Well, it's like someone that may be really insecure in their body and how they look will see that and think, like, oh my God, like, this could really help me with, like, my confidence, like, I need this, and then go and buy the product or the magazine and so forth, right? So that's for one. But also there's, like, how do you explain that? It's just, like, in general, like, and going back to you talking about, you know, growing up and using the scale and all that stuff, there's a lot that we learn as a kid that we take, well, most things, like, when we're born, we're all born intuitive eaters, if we take a look at it. And, like, intuitive eating sounds like a fancy word, but it's just, like, a word for, like, normal, what normal eating is. Because
knowing when your body wants to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. Because when you look at a baby or a child, it's like whenever they're hungry, they're going to cry for food. When they're full, they're going to stop. And yes, there's more to intuitive eating than just like hunger and fullness, like I had mentioned, because intuitive eating is a framework that was first created to help people going through eating disorders, but mainly to heal the relationship with food and body. But there's a lot that we take from our environment. So like kind of like how you talk, like obviously you can have like, you know, like parents that, and I know you've talked a lot about your parents and like stories, and I've been following you, and I know how your parents have always been supportive of you and never like judging in any way. But we often pick up on what our parents do and how they interact with food as well. So maybe if you saw your parents weighing yourself, and maybe if they had like a reaction to their weight and you saw that, you might have associated as a child like, oh, well, a higher number on the scale means that I'm not worthy of X amount and X certain Absolutely. Types of things.
Absolutely.
So even though if like your parents didn't tell it to you like directly that, oh, well, you have to lose weight because you're in a bigger body, we still see those things. And then we like, you know, we start into that and then we grow into adults that has all of those beliefs around what it means to be healthy, what it means to be like to live in your body, what it means to have like a healthy diet. And also, and it's a great thing that people are starting to be more aware of it, but the reasons why, like, you know, we go about and we're so like with society being so just judgmental about bigger bodies is because of fat phobia. Because if you take a look like at not only your parents like weighing like themselves, because like, you know, if they gain weight, oh, well, you know, I have to like cut back, because in society we're being told that fat or being in a bigger body is bad and is not worthy of love, of success, of validation, and so forth. And hence society is telling us that in order, and it's being praised as well, right? Because you can think of, I remember like, you know, my personal experience going through like eating disorders, like when I was going through orthorexia, and I like, you know, I was like eating clean and like I'm doing like the air quotes, you know, at that time. And I was like working out all the time and people like looked up to me and they were like, oh my God, you look so good. You look so fit. You're so healthy. And obviously I felt validated for being in like a small thin body. But I was the furthest picture of health, because whenever like I was behind closed doors, I was binging. I wasn't going, like I was isolating myself. I was depressed. And like, I just had like the most critical self, like thinking about myself, like all the time. And there's no way that that's healthy, but society focuses only on, you know, thin is best, thin is the, you know, the healthiest, without any consideration for all those other factors that comes into play. So yeah, it's just really, It's really sad, but also really interesting.
It's sad because there's no, how can I word this? There's no, you're not going to get any validation for gaining weight. Like it was
100%.
I was in the same situation as you, as, but maybe not the same, but very similar in the sense that I was in a domestic violent relationship. I was in an abusive relationship. And by being in that abusive relationship, I wasn't eating, because like I was telling you a while ago, I don't eat when I'm stressed. I don't eat when I'm sad. I don't eat when I'm feeling any kind of negative emotions. I can't eat. My body will not process the food. It just feels like I'm swallowing, but it's staying completely in my chest. While I know that some people will, they turn to food when they're feeling negative emotions, I turn to food when I'm feeling positive emotions. So I turn to food when I want to celebrate. I turn to food when I'm having a really good day. I turn to food when I am, you know, like I said a while ago, if I book a really big contract, or if I'm traveling and all of those happy hormones are already in my body. I want to add more happy hormones by eating. And that's where those happy hormones are coming from, is by eating. So I remember when I lost, right out of high school, I lost, I would say like 40 pounds. And this was because I was in that relationship and I wasn't eating as much. And my body was constantly working in overdrive because I was always worried. I was always upset. I was always angry about something. And getting all of that praise from people around me being like, oh my God, you look so good. Look, you look so skinny. You look so thin. And that I didn't want to lose that praise.
Yeah, 100%.
So even when I was happy, I wasn't eating as much because I was like, I can't gain this weight back. I want this constant validation from the people around me to continuously, you know, comment on my weight in a positive way. And I think this also has a lot to do with just like our generation and then like our grandparents' generation, for example, it's very normalized to go to a family dinner or a family gathering and having your grandparents comment on your weight.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me numerous times. I remember that it was a good day when my grandmother would tell me that I looked so skinny or that I looked really thin. And I remember, I feel like I've spoke about this before, but I remember going to visit my grandfather in the hospital when he had had a stroke. My grandfather is still here and he's still very healthy, but he had had a stroke and I went to go visit him in the hospital with my family. And at that point I gained a little bit of weight and my grandfather looked at me while he was in his hospital bed and was like, oh, like you're really packing on the pounds, eh? That stayed with me forever. And the day that was supposed to be about me going to visit my grandfather in the hospital to make sure that he was okay turned into a day that I was obsessing over my weight. I was obsessing over the way that I looked because of that comment. And I'll never blame my grandfather for that. Obviously, like he was raised in a different time than we were, but it's just crazy how much one small sentence can affect your entire mood for a week, can it affect your entire mood for a whole day. I have another story actually recently, yesterday actually. So there was a Instagram account that reposted one of my photos that I talked about, just like bad body days and how I still struggle with them and how sometimes I feel like a hypocrite for struggling with those bad body days, but still coming off like people think that I'm, you know, this confident person and that I love my body. And on most days I do, because but I've been working on that for a long, long time. But I still have really, really bad days. And anyways, in this post, it explained that. And there was another account that reshared that photo with that caption. So obviously with that reshare, they had a really large following and I got quite a few new followers from that. And someone that, and it's like a Quebec based account. So there was a lot of French, I got like a lot of new French followers. And there was someone that sent me a message on Instagram that said, hey, I saw your post. And this was in French. She said, hey, I saw your post. I just wanted to reach out and, you know, like see if you wanted any help. Like I help women reach their goals, like their weight goals. Oh,
I saw that in your stories.
So I didn't obviously like share any names or anything like that because I'm just, that's just not who I am. I'm not going to like, you know what I mean? But I kind of was like completely taken aback by that because this isn't the first time that it's happened. And I sent her a message. It wasn't a very nice message. I just said, do we know each other? And she said, well, I saw that this account reshared your photo in the caption. And I said, why do you think that it was okay to see a post where a woman was being very vulnerable in her feelings, very vulnerable about her body, her weight, and you took that as an opportunity to sell your weight loss products? Because I creeped her profile and she sold Herbalife, which we all know is a multi-level marketing company and they sell weight loss products. And I said that and I was like, I really hope that I'm the last person that you reach out to, because this was completely uncalled for. And knowing who I am now, I am able to take this. But knowing who I was 6 years ago, I would have cried about that message for weeks. I would have never been able to get over that, because that message screamed, you're fat, let me help you.
Yeah.
You're fat, let me show you what you can do to fix that, because you need fixing, because fat is not okay. And you are not worthy of anything if you gain weight, or if you have a few extra pounds, or, you know what I mean? So it was completely, and I'm sure she responded with a terrible message. She's like, yeah, I help women, but not stupid fucking people like you.
No.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's not great. And now I know that you don't actually like to help women. You want to sell your weight loss products. And that's all it is. That's all you were doing. You were trying to pitch your weight loss products to me and I wasn't taking it. And I hope that you feel like shit. I hope that you feel like shit from reaching out to me and making me feel like shit, because I made a post about being vulnerable about my body and my weight, and you took it as an opportunity to sell me something that could change that.
Yeah. Oh my God. All the feels, like, I know it's just so ridiculous. And again, it's like that mentality with like diet culture that, you know, fat is bad, and that all that people must want to lose weight, because why wouldn't you want to be thin, right?
Why would you ever be comfortable in your body if you're over 200 pounds, or if you're over 300 pounds, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's just this whole sense around being in a bigger body makes you less worthy. Being in a bigger body, you know, like, you should constantly be thinking about what you're putting in your body. You should constantly be thinking about what you're eating. You should constantly be thinking about exercising. And how is that fair? How is that fair that at that point in time, when I'm in a bigger body, all of these things are being said to me, but when I wasn't eating at all, nothing was being said to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how is that fair?
I know. Yeah. It's so sad. And again, that's kind of like, you know, with society and fat phobia. And there's a few things that I wanted to touch on that when you were telling your story, I made sure to write down so that I wouldn't forget. It's like, I have the memory of a goldfish. So anyway, but because what's so crazy is that if we go back, like, way, way back, and we take a look at why, like, where it started, like, where it truly started, that, like, thin, because if you think back, like, throughout the years, and I'm sure you saw, like, several of those posts, like, throughout times, but, like, how throughout the years, the thin ideal always changed, right?
Absolutely.
Because way back in the 90s, you had, like, Marilyn Monroe that was, like, you know, like, curvy and all that, and that was portrayed as, you know, the body ideal at that time. The ideal body. But then eventually throughout the years, it became like, you know, like, oh, you had like kind of like a boyish figure and like super like tiny, like really like super skinny. And then like now in like 2020, 2021, it's like the Kardashians with like, you know, the curves and all that. So it just is to show that there's like this bigger picture that's like, you know, using like thinness as a way, that might be controversial, but as a way to control women. Because again, if we take a look back, like when the thin ideal became a thing, it was actually like the thin ideal is rooted in racism, because the thin ideal was created by men, should I mention, that to be able to make white women superior to black folks, because black women were known to have like, you know, curves and like have like more weight on themselves. So they were like, okay, well, to be able to make white women more superior, to Black women, we're going to start controlling them and install this tin ideal to give them superiority.
That's crazy.
And it, like, it just like, it got me so mad when I learned that, because like, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, with intuitive eating and, you know, like, I guess like smashing the patriarchy and everything, because I mean, again, like the tin ideal was created by men in order to try and control women into that portrait. But yeah, it was rooted in racism. So that's something that I did wanted to mention, but throughout the years, you know, like unconsciously, like it's often time. And I remember my coach, like in, when I was learning intuitive eating, she told us something during class. And I was like, oh my God, like, let me think about it. Like, nobody really asked you that. But for people that, you know, let's say want to lose weight, well, not often, because it's being so celebrated, right? And it's being praised, like, oh, you should lose weight. Well, we don't ask the question, like, why do you want to lose weight in the first place? Like, what is like motivating you? And if it's the thing of like, you know, oh, well, I'm wanting to feel like better in my body or be healthier. Well, it's, there's been several, like hundreds of studies that has proven that intentional weight loss and dieting doesn't work for like, you know, like long-term sustainable weight loss, because the, when we're trying to restrict in a way or another, again, through like your typical dieting or any type of restriction for that matter, your body can't recognize the difference between you wanting to just like lose weight to be thin, or if you're going through like famine. It sounds funny, but your body can't recognize the difference between the two. So when you're restricting your food intake, or, you know, you're trying to like cut back on calories or so forth, or you're not allowing yourself certain food groups and it becomes all you think about, then eventually when you say like, oh, like I'm just gonna eat like a few chips, and then like 10 minutes later you're like knee deep in like the bag of chips and there's none left and you don't know what's been like what happened, well, it's your body's natural reaction to restriction. It's not because we don't have enough willpower. It's not because we sorry for my French, but we fucked it up. But it's just because it's our body's, again, natural reaction to restriction. And it's to stock up on food in case if there's another famine that's coming, right? AKA another phase of restriction, AKA starting fresh again on Monday. So that's kind of like, I don't even know where I was going with that, but that's kind of like how, I guess how it works with restriction and dieting. And the last thing that I wanted to add on that, that went back to, you know, being praised for being like in a thinner body or for losing weight and or for chasing weight loss, is my own personal story that actually happened like quite recently, like a few months back. And I shared that on another podcast episode. It's going to be coming out soon, but it's just really to show how, like, it's not like, you know, it's not about, whenever we say that we're restricting or we're doing things in order to be healthy, when it's kind of like how you said that, you know, you were like when you were like stressed out and you had lost weight and people were praising you, and then you became like obsessed because you didn't want to gain the weight back. You didn't want to gain the weight back. It shows that it was the obsession. It was never about health itself or about being thin. It was about the validation, the work and so forth. And that's kind of like where my story comes into play. But, and it's again funny because especially like, you know, people in my field, and even you, I'm sure, you know, like with all like the body image portion of it, where people are like, you know, probably, oh, you're so confident, like you must be like, you know, having great days all the time, but it's not the case, like you said. And it's the same for me, like people will look at me and say like, oh, with intuitive eating, like you're, you know, loving your body and like everything is just so perfect. But I mean, we always have moments. And I remember when I truly started intuitive eating, and the reality of it is that once you ditch the food rules, you start allowing yourself all foods, and you start eating like, you know, for your own body without any you know, focus on what your body is going to look like necessarily, there is the possibility that, because for me, true restrictions throughout the years, it was to stay thin, because I do live in a thin body, according to societal norms and straight size clothing and stuff like that. But for me, it was because I was fearing weight gain. So basically, when I started intuitive eating, I did gain some weight. And it's not because I've let myself go, or because, you know, I'm being unhealthy or all that, all those things, like society would, you know, put labels on me, but because the body size that your body wants to be at is the body that you're at when you're not restricting, you're not putting rules around what you eat, when you eat, and how much you eat. You're in tune with like your body cues, and then, you know, you respect your body. So for me, again, with the weight gains, I gained some weight, and, you know, knowing all that I know with intuitive eating and body image, I was like, you know what, eventually I know I'm going to go over at my parents, they're going to notice my weight gain, or someone's going to notice. And in my mind, I was like, it's not going to bother me. Like, I'm equipped. I have the tools. It's all going to be good. And I remember, and especially knowing that, you know, like health can look different for every different type of bodies, right? Because everyone could eat and exercise the same and still look different, because, you know, with the concept at health at every size, it is like body diversity is a thing. So knowing that, I was like, yeah, like I'm prepared with like, you know, my facts and my studies, like, you know, if someone comes at me, like I'm just gonna whip it out. And I remember being at my parents, and I was wearing this tank top, and like I, for some reason, I gained some weights like in my arms, and I have like stretch marks in the inside of my arms now. And I remember, I don't know what I was doing, like cooking or something, and my parents, but were in the kitchen, came to me, and my mom was like, oh wow, like you got, like you gained a lot of muscles. She was like, oh, like look at your shoulders, whatever. And then my dad came behind her, and she was like, well, no, obviously, like look, like she gained weight, like this is not muscle, like she gained weight. And in my mind, I was like, no, it's still cool, like I'm not gonna freak out.
Like, and I'm not gonna cry.
Exactly. And yeah, like he was like, oh no, like that's not muscle, like, you know, she, like she has fat on her, like she gained weight. And I was like, yeah, for a matter of fact, you know what, I did gain weight, and I do feel good in my body. And I like tried to explain myself, and my dad, he had the audacity of saying like, oh, well, maybe don't you think you should start like, you know, looking at your portions and like making sure that you're not eating too much. But again, I can't put the blame on anything that they say, although it wasn't necessarily nice, but it's because, you know, our parents or grandparents were raised in a fat phobic environment, that so that whenever they saw me gain weight, they saw it as like bad, you know, fat is bad, like, you know, you should be doing something about it. So, you know, that happened, and like I was like, again, trying not to cry, and I was like, I'm just gonna go compose myself in the bathroom, and sat down. And this, what I'm about to tell you, is the exact example why it's never about the weight, it's never about health, but it's about the approval and the validation of others. But I sat down, and the first thought that came into my mind was that my dad loved me better when I was going through eating disorders than now. And that just shows that, you know, even with everything that I know, and I know that when that, like, that thought pop up, I knew that it wasn't true, but it was just like deep down.
That was the thought of not being worthy of your father's love because you were not in a thinner body.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why with intuitive eating, it can be such deep healing work, because this is the place that we go to, like, you know, why we fear weight gain, why we want to lose weight, why are we interacting with food the way that we do, because oftentimes it's underlying, you know, reasons like that. And I mean, for good reasons, because if you take a look, not only on social media, but like in magazines, on TV, like in movies and so forth, like if you see like a bigger person, someone that lives, you know, in a fatter body, that it's always being deemed as, you know, being, you know, unhealthy, as being disgusting, as being lazy. You know, it's like society portrays bigger body in that light. So obviously, why would you want to go there?
Exactly. And also the fact that fat is supposed to be a bad word. Fat is not a bad word. The fact that people will use fat as an insult makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah. And it's something that I think that, you know, us people in like the non-diet weight neutral approach to health in that world, we're really trying to like take away the power from that word, because fat is it's just as it is. It's like a descriptor. Like, I have fat on my body. Yeah. Big whoop. Like, what is it about?
I have fat. I have stretch marks. I have cellulite. I have all of these things. It is literally just a description of what my body looks like.
Yeah.
And not a personality trait.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing for like, and we work through that with, I work through that with clients as well, but it's like, when you take a look at it, sometimes we'll have days where we're like, oh, I feel fat. Well, fat is not a feeling. Probably for you, like feeling like, you know, feeling fat is, well, maybe you feel like, you know, again, you're not worthy. You have like low self-confidence on that day. There's like a lot of different things that goes underneath that. But again, it's kind of like you said, because we're so used in society to use fat as, you know, an insult, as a bad term, and instead so forth.
Of as a descriptor word.
Exactly.
Because it's like you said, fat is not a feeling. Fat is a descriptor word. Fat is not a personality trait. Fat is a descriptor word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're describing someone as fat, it shouldn't be taken as a bad word, but it's because it has been taken as a bad word for so long that if someone tells you you're fat, you automatically think that you are less than.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's so sad, because it's been like that for so long. So all of this unlearning that we're doing now, all of this knowledge that we're finally gaining now, is going to take so long before it's actually starting to make a huge impact in society. Mm-hmm. Because it's been part of society forever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And I feel like, you know, that's why it's so important to have conversation like this and, you know, spread the awareness around, like, you know, like health at every size. And, you know, for anyone that, you know, lives with disordered eating, you know, intuitive eating can be a really great tool for that. But because if we don't talk more about it, then it just continues to, like, you know, with diet culture being more sneaky and more sneaky, that it just kind of like becomes the norm, right?
Exactly. That absolutely
with fat and all that. So, but yeah, and it's, I think, just
these,
like,
conversations are happening a lot more, and they should be happening a lot more. We should be having more conversations around this. So I think that it was really awesome for you to come on the podcast today and talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was like super pumped, because I do hear from a lot of women in my world that, you know, because something that, like, not only with body image, but with, like, or eating habits, that it's something that we feel so ashamed of, and that we try to hide from others, and like portray that we're this perfectly healthy person when we have all those things happening behind the scenes. And, you know, again, it's just to bring the awareness, start the conversation, and like to remove the shame around what's happening.
Absolutely.
So that we can like truly heal from that. So I'm super, super grateful that you know, let me take some space on your platform to talk about this and help spread the word to other women. And
I'm really happy to have you here, and I'm really happy that we had this conversation today. So why don't
you tell everyone where they can find you?
For sure. So most of my activity is happening on my platform of choice, which is Instagram. So people can find me. It's my my username is Chanel_Bellevaux, just my name, where I'm talking about all things intuitive eating, body image, disordered eating, you know, with like healthism, health at every size, and so forth. And I'm also on Facebook under my name as well, but most of the fun stuff is happening on Instagram. So people can find me on there. I always encourage people that, you know, I always try to create like, you know, a really safe space for women to feel comfortable, like talking to me. I come from like a no judgment, you know, approach. And I'm just, again, trying to create like the community and have, you know, that safe space to have those conversations. So for anyone that has any questions at all about intuitive eating, body image, feel free to slide in my DMs, as the youngsters would say. And I would love to chat more, because I'm obviously really passionate about this subject. So
for sure. Well, thank you so much again, Chanel. I'm so excited for everyone.
If you've been listening up until now, thank you for listening to the whole episode. I'm going to add all of Chanel's information into the show notes, and you can go find her on all of her platforms. Well, thank you so much again, Chanel. It was so awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.